Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Brought to you by You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. This is Bob Belt's Wake Up Denver. Do you think that's the same sun George Harrison is talking about?
Absolutely not, but isn't it great that we can think of it that way?
Absolutely.
And the lyrics fit too, I'll tell you.
So if you've had a long, cold, lonely winter,
here comes the sun.
And the sun came for you. And all you have to do by faith is receive. So we're not going to preach too much today. We're going to do what we normally do here on You Get the Blessing. But first, let me welcome Bob Belts, the smartest man in the world. Bob, how are you?
Bo, it's good to be back with you. I've been off on some family medical issues, and a lot of people have commented on me not being on the show, and most of them have suggested that it actually is a much better show without me, by the way.
No. I'm glad to have you back. Going solo was difficult. We had nothing what you would call of the scholastic or intellectual vein at all when I was doing it alone.
It's hard to find somebody as goofy as me to
smart,
do the show with.
As smart. So anyway, you're a great friend and partner. And thanks for listening to You Get the Blessing. Every week we try to introduce you to people that we think are impacting this community and this world for Christ. And today our guest is Bob Woolfolk, who's been a pastor in the inner city for 42 years. Bob, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bo. Bob,
you're
good
a good friend.
Here, man.
Thank you. You're a good friend to us, too.
How long have we known each other?
Oh, man, it goes back at least 30 years.
30 years.
Yeah.
So how old are you?
70.
70 years old.
70.
I still got your birthday present.
Oh, well, cough it up.
It's in my money clip. That was just what, recently?
Yeah. November the 25th was my birthday.
All you guys right, had friend. Quite a celebration, too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. We celebrated our wedding anniversary, ministry, and Eddie turned 70 also this year.
You know, you
That's
go back
wife,
and you,
Eddie.
You go back and look, particularly, I think, in the Old Testament, all the feasts, you know, and how much, you know, I think they had more fun than we have. I think we need more of those kind of celebratory events like that to because we got the greatest thing going in the world.
Amen. Yeah. We got Jesus.
So you were born where?
St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis, Missouri. Black or white?
Both.
You.
Sometimes it was separate but equal at the time when I was born, you know?
Yeah.
So it was both.
I got you. I mean, it's tough for our listeners to pick up on all aspects of our guests, so that's why I threw that out there,
you
Bob.
Can.
You don't notice that I'm white. I don't notice that you're black. Correct?
Yeah, that's the truth.
You taught me more about that, by the way. You don't probably remember this. When I was in seminary and you were one of my profs, and I would say, is this a racist statement? Is this a racist statement? And you were trying to teach me what works and what doesn't work. And
I hear you.
And I was clueless, wasn't I?
Well, you said it.
You gave me a C, though, because you liked me.
Oh, well, that was a fun class, and the whole life, urban ministry, all that, it's fun, but it's difficult, and it's complex, and it's serious.
Now, I've heard East St. Louis is the roughest, most poverty-stricken part of the country. Is that where you're from?
I was born in St. Louis, Missouri. I've got relatives in both St. Louis, Missouri and East St. Louis. I was just talking to a cousin that lives in East St. Louis just this weekend.
So. Still tough life there.
It's still tough life there. Yeah, it's still tough.
So what was it like around your home as a kid?
Well, see, even though I was born in St. Louis, I was raised in Southern Illinois, down close to Cairo. And Cairo has been known as one of the tough places in America during that time, because it was right at the confluence of the Ohio and the Mississippi River. So you got Kentucky and Missouri and Illinois all coming together. So you got what's supposed to be up north and down south all mixed together right there in that vicinity. And so it was a real difficult kind of thing. And I was born during the time when separate but equal was the law. And when I went to school, even though there was a school right up the hill from me, we would bus about 4 miles down the road to an all-black school. So times have changed and things have been rearranged, but have they really been?
Doesn't sound like you think they have.
Have they really been? Look at all the stuff that's right here in 2015. This morning, they were talking about Freddie Gray. You know, and every time you open the news up, you find some disparity somewhere.
Why is that?
Because we're still sinners, and we haven't all been saved by the grace of God. So that's why we're still fighting each other, not loving each other.
And how old were you when that first made sense to you, the whole relationship with God through Jesus Christ and sin is a bad thing? And
I was probably about 16 when I took it seriously, but I was probably 22, 23 when I really plunged into it and gave my life to it. Yeah.
And is that when you became a pastor?
Well, I didn't become a pastor until I was 30.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you did some studying and preparing to get ready.
Preparing. Well, all of the time I was in the mix, you know, at the church, in the community, and trying to hear what Jesus was saying to make some sense to me for my life and my family and my community.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the voice of Bob Woolfolk. I'm Bo Mitchell. My co-host is Bob Belts. And Bob Woolfolk is the pastor of Agape Christian Church and one of our friends for the last 35 years, I'd say.
Been a long time. Been a good time.
It has been.
Oh, yeah.
You've taught us a lot. And what other things could you just highlight about your career besides being a pastor? I mean, I know you're on a lot of boards and you've helped serve in all kinds of ways.
Well, one of the things that we've done is deal with the housing issue for low-income people. We started working with Hope Communities in 1980, and they're still in the community and they're still working with people that have housing issues. And housing is one of the important things that are on the agenda even at this very moment. We're trying to get a affordable housing amendment within the context of the Colorado state government, where that abandoned things can be sold and use the money for affordable housing. That's one of the things we've been working on. We've done property management and things like that through a place called Faith Management and Realty. And so housing is at the top of the list, one of the top 10 things going on right now, even right next to the church. We had bought the 4 lots to build a school, and now they have been sold for development. And they come and tell us, well, we're sorry we can't do affordable housing. What we're going to do is 4 $800,000 units.
Oh my gosh.
Right in the back of the church. That whole neighborhood is turned gentrified and upscale. Right across the street, there's a $600,000 and a $500,000 units. And so it's.
And your church is cross streets or what?
2501 California, 25th Street and California Street.
And it's a beautiful church. How many years has that church been sitting
there? The church was built in 1887 by the German Methodist Episcopal Church. And it's been through the Great Commission, because the Germans had it and it turned over to the Japanese. And now we have Hispanics and blacks that meet there, and all the people in the neighborhood are welcome. We have not only a church, but a ministry to the needs of the people in the neighborhood.
And you have a need to expand a little bit, and you're saying, no, they're not going to allow that. We're going to build some high-end stuff.
Well, here's what happened. We had the land. We had bought the land to build an inner-city Christian school, and from that, when 9/11 took place, the donations stopped coming in. So in order to keep the school going, we sold the land.
Gotcha.
And so from that, it's evolved. The people that bought the land said that they were going to develop for affordable housing. And then the people came back and apologized and said that the neighbors said they didn't want any more affordable housing in the neighborhood. And so they sold it to these developers that came and said they're going to do four $800,000 luxury units.
Well, you're just going to have to get those families in your church.
Oh, that'll be good. You know, everybody doesn't want to bridge the socioeconomic gap, the ethnic gap. And so sometimes poor folks and upper class folks don't mix real good. It's kind of like gasoline and fire, you know. And so you don't want to pour them together unless the Holy Spirit gets in them first. The Holy Spirit got in you and Bob, and so it makes that difference in the way you see the world and see people.
That's Bob Wolfolk's voice you're listening to there. As I said, the pastor of Agape Christian Church. Thanks for tuning in this morning to You Get the Blessing. And my co-host, who I consider to be the smartest man in the world, Bob Belts,
praise God,
has an opinion on this wealthy, poor mix and confusion that's been going on, as Pastor Wolfolk said, since the days we were born and hundreds of years before that, they've been trying to figure this out. Why can't we figure this out, Bob?
I think that Bob already said it. You know, fallen human nature tends to be self-focused, tends to be, really, when you look at a lot of what goes on, I think it's insecurity in a lot of ways, and, you know, fear. And that doesn't change unless the heart gets changed. And,
that's right.
And sometimes even when the heart gets changed, we're so consumed with our own stuff that we forget to reach out. And so I think why we appreciate you, Bob, because you've been a good friend to us, and we always benefit more from what you teach us than anything we do. But you also, by the way, last time we talked, I think, we're working on some kind of a youth center. Is that?
Well, it's a multi-phased project we want to do. We presently have three houses at the end of the light rail, line D, there on Welton Street, and we want to turn it into what would be a business, a therapeutic community, and residence for affordable housing. We're really looking at veterans and reentering citizens coming back from prison, and we want to have those three in the complex. We have the possibility of getting seven lots in that one block and developing. Have a business on the first floor, therapeutic community with a clinic, with counselors, with the real estate, lawyer, and all that on the second floor. And then three through five have dormitory space, studios, and one and two bedroom units for folks. So we've been planning and trying to find partners to help us to finance that. We have control of the property. We haven't paid it all off, but we've been working there in 18 years now, working with guys coming out of prison. We've probably done 1,000 cases with the guys coming out. We have a better record than the DOC, the county, the city, working with returning citizens, keeping them from going back, helping them find employment, helping them to hook up back with their families. And so we think that having an opportunity like that would give us more chances, because now we work with about 20 guys at a time. This would give us more to work with.
So you said something a minute ago, Bob, about fear is one of the issues. And I can remember being at Thomas Jefferson High School in 1966. In
1966,
when I graduated, and Manual High School was all black. Busing hadn't started. We were all white. Mm-hmm. And I definitely can remember being afraid of those guys and thinking they're better than us in sports, for example. But just not knowing. You're what you don't know, what you don't understand, you kind of are afraid of. But I went on to see you to play basketball, and in my same class from Manual was Tim Wedgeworth, who I'd played against, and he was probably one of my best two or three friends on the team there in CU, and it just helped that we were thrown in there together and got to know each other. So I like that you're planted right in the center, Bob, with your church, and that you have a mindset of unity and compassion for all folks, and you Amen. Care about the housing Amen. Situation for the impoverished, but you're welcoming whoever's going to buy those $800,000 units next to you.
Oh, yeah.
You seem to have a good ability to walk in both worlds to me.
Well, Jesus put us all here together. Dr. Martin Luther King says if we don't learn to live like brothers, we'll die together like fools. And it seems like that's what's going off, you know, the foolishness of all the killings coming from the Muslim world, coming from law enforcement and neighbors that are against one another. We're killing each other wholesale, you know, and it doesn't really make any sense. As intelligent as we are, as educated as we are, as sociologically prepared as we seem to be, we still kill each other wholesale. It just does not make sense.
And a lot of it's no deeper than the color of a man's skin.
Well, some of it has to do with drugs, territorialism. I say to the guys that are in the gangs, you don't own this land that you're fighting over. Buy some land, build some houses, help somebody. Don't fight each other, you know. A red and blue kerchief don't make no sense to fight over, you know.
Well, one of the strengths you guys have exhibited to everybody in town is a coalition that you formed with some other pastors that Bob Belts and I know and love. Describe a little bit, or first identify who's in that group, and then describe what y'all have done for, I think,
We call ourselves the Inner City Pastors Fellowship, and it includes black and brown and white pastors from around the city that have been together and worked together and prayed together and planned together and done
since
ministry
the 80s?
Together. Since 1982.
1982.
Basically, when we started. It includes Jack LaPietra, who's in New Life in Christ Church, Russ Porter.
And Jack's White.
Jack's White. And Dennis Noble, who's the Church of the Living Lord. He's white. And Ken Roberts, myself, Luis Villarreal. It also had included the pastor, John Hicks, who's up in Capitol Hill. He's another white guy. And Luis Villarreal, he's brown. And so we have been brothers together for a long, long time. And we're still brothers together as we move into eternity.
I know for years you met once a week. You still do it that frequently?
We plan to, but it seems things don't quite work to get us together like that. But we still plan to, and we still have we do things with Compa Food Ministries, with Food Bank of the Rockies. We do things with doing the Sky's the Limit Summer Day Camp, which you guys helped us to do for 25 years. We did a class at Denver Seminary to teach urban ministry, and so those are the kinds of things that we continue to do. We help one another because they're brothers that are coming and sisters that are coming out of prison. We try to work that way. Luis now does Save Our Youth, which works with kids to keep them from going into juvenile and helps with the family kinds of things. He offers mentoring for the kids and for the whole family so that they'll be more whole and more healthy.
And who do you like best between Jack, Luis, Ken?
You ain't gonna
John.
Do that. You're not gonna do that to me. They're my brothers, and we all are unique and wonderful and amazing and marvelous in and of ourselves. You know, so therefore, each one has something to contribute to our relationship in a way that benefits all of us all of the time.
Hadn't that been a message, Bob, to all of us here on the south side of town, that these guys are unified in what they do?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, we love each other. We learn how to. We don't just say we do, you know. And we've been pressed together by the crises that we face, the people that we work with. And so we have to work together.
We've always had an honest dialogue with you guys. And I know a couple things you taught us, because I can remember when Bob and I helped start Cherry Hills Community Church thinking, well, we need a few more black folk in the congregation. And so what a stupid thought, I guess, is what you all said, because you like your traditions and you like your culture and you like what you do on Sunday mornings. And you're thinking, hey, why don't you guys ask us, I remember you taught us this too, what we need and what we would like to partner with you in and what we like doing on our own. Do you remember those days when you taught us that stuff?
You see, one of the things that happened is Agape was planted by 10 white folks that came from Aurora.
No kidding.
And they came into the community.
It's right off Five Points, right?
Well, it's in Five Points where they came.
Okay.
And they started a preaching a session on Sundays, and they started reaching out to the women and the children and the men in the neighborhood. And they planted the church, and they found that them just coming from the suburbia and offering a service was not working. And so they called a black man from Georgia to come. He was black on the outside, but he wasn't a black American. He was from the Bahamas, highly educated. He was English in his orientation. And so therefore, even though he was black on the outside, he did not relate to black people in the urban area.
That reminds me of Dikembe Mutombo. That's the way he was. He was like a statesman in his country. Oh, so when he came here, he was...
It's the same kind of thing, because the outside is not what makes who you are. It's who you are inside. And if you're not changed by the blood of Jesus, and you just can't quite relate with one another. You don't know how to love each other, even though you'll go through motions and such. I tell people, I'm forced to care about red, yellow, brown, black, and white, because they're all in my family. My sons and daughters have married other people from other, you know, ethnic groups, and so they're now my family for real. And then being my family in Jesus, then it propels it to another level and helps me to understand that all of us, if you cut us, we'll bleed, you know. All of us, if you kick us, it hurts, you understand? And so we have to learn how to maximize our care for one another in a lot of ways.
Bob, you've got a lot of things, a lot of plates spinning there. For anybody that's listening, what can we do to help you?
Wow. The number one thing is pray. That's where you start. Number two, come and see what we're doing and see what the Holy Spirit says to you about helping us. Because there are so many needs in the area. One of the things that we're working on right now with the Center for Disease Control and Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment is what they call the Black Faith screening for HIV and AIDS. And 10 churches are coming together and screening people, because HIV and AIDS are a real pandemic for black women. And one of the reasons is black men are coming out of prison and they've been on the down low and they're hot and they're not even testing them. So pray for us as we're attempting to do this.
They want to give money. Is there a website or something they can find and contact you?
Our website is www.agapechristianchurch.org.
You need money?
Do we need water? Do we need food? We need money, yeah. We need money for our transportation. We need money for the communications, all the things that we do. So somebody said money is the answer to everything. And so, yes, if you got money, we can use money.
Website again?
www.agapechristianchurch.org.
25th in California.
2501 California Street.
Bob and Eddie May, Wolf Folk, the pastors, and you love Eddie Mae more today than the day you met her.
More than yesterday. Yes, sir. And so just keep praying and keep praying for, we're getting older every day, and many of the folks that are in leadership are getting weaker because of age. And my mother just came out of the hospital last night. My brother's in the hospital. His aorta busted. And so they repaired him, and he's in the ICU now. And so pray for us, family, and all of us. So
you're a good man and a good leader, and we love you, goodness. Bob Woolfolk.
Well, keep praying. Send some money, and come and help us.
And if you go there, folks, you will be blessed. 25th in California.
Praise. What time is your Sunday service?
Oh, well, we have Bible class at 10. We have a morning worship at 11. We have a Spanish service at 3 All on right. Sunday.
Good man, isn't he, Bob?
Yeah, good friend.
Praise
Thanks
God.
For listening to the program today. Go look it up, agapechristianchurch.org. Bob Woolfolk.
God bless you, Bob.
Pray, send love, and send some money if you got it.
Amen.